Welcome to Crazy Shit in Real Estate, a weekly podcast where I walk you through some of the wildest, most unbelievable stories you'll hear from the world of real estate. If you like real estate and you love crazy, this is a podcast for you.
And welcome back to the podcast. I'm Lee Brown, and you're listening to Crazy Shit in Real Estate, where we look at things that you just had no idea we would even be able to look at because, y'all, HGTV does not show even a fraction of what real estate actually looks like. And so today, I'm excited to introduce y'all to Tracy in Georgia. Tracy, tell everybody hello.
Hi.
So tell the world where you're located, your name, your company, what angle of real estate you're in, so they know a little bit about your background.
I'm Tracy Browning, and I'm a residential realtor working with buyers and sellers, primarily in Cobb County, northwest of Atlanta. My primary cities are Marietta and Kennesaw.
Okay, so considering the time of year when we're recording this, I have to ask, is the collapse of I-85 affecting your business and your traffic commute? Because that is insane what's going on in Atlanta.
Thankfully, it's not affecting my business because we're so far away from that. But I-85 is right in the heart of the city of Atlanta. So everybody is having to find an alternate route, including my husband who works at Turner Broadcasting. He's got to find an alternate route. And so many other people are taking the side streets and it's taking longer.
I guess they should all come buy a house in your area then so they can fix their commute times, right?
I think so. Absolutely.
Okay. So Tracy, before we tell your story, let me give you the two ground rules of the podcast in case anybody's a new subscriber and listening. You can use any salty language you want except for F-bombs, GDs, or see you next Tuesday because I'm allergic to those three hateful words. And if there are any guilty or bad behaving parties in your story, either use fake names or don't use names at all. But you can use the names of nice people if they gave you permission, because we actually don't mind nice people. But with that being said, I know you've got a couple of things that have made you shake your head in your 5 years in the business. So tell the world what has come across your plate.
Okay. I had a client who shall remain nameless. I helped her buy a home, and then she wanted to sell her other home. First, we discovered in the tax records that she owned it with another person, her ex-fiance.
Did you say ex-fiance?
I did.
Oh, here we go.
It was not a good breakup. when I finally reached him, he said she had tried to sell it without his knowledge once before. He refused to share his contact information with her. So he specifically created a new email just for this transaction. And he told her that his address was Nantahala National Forest, Red North Face 10 in North Carolina. So, right.
So you're saying it's my fault now because it fell in my state?
Right. Well, he's wonderful and he's in North Carolina. She's here in Georgia.
And crazy. So you have the crazy one?
Right. So we listed the home and she immediately put in a week-to-week renter without telling me or the ex-fiance. That renter paid exactly 1 week and stopped making payments. And so, So this client had to file the eviction paperwork. And she went to the house to talk to him, to try to reason with him, get him back on track. That didn't work, but she did notice all the drug paraphernalia. So she called the police. We finally went binding with an investor who said he'd keep the tenant if the tenant was current on his rent. So I instructed this client, bring the deposit money to closing, and that month's rent would be prorated. We get to closing, and we discover he has never paid more than the first week's rent. After learning all that, she was not happy that the closing attorney wanted to postpone the closing. She stood up, slapped both her hands on the table at closing, and screamed, "I'm not leaving here without my money."
Oh, yes, you are.
Right, exactly. At that point, the closing attorney broke us into two rooms and made each person sign an extension. And so, so we postponed about 3 weeks. And then the tenant was evicted. His furniture was thrown on the front lawn and slowly hauled away. And this was a very chatty client. So leading up to the closing, she had been very talkative, would call me at 6:45 in the morning on the way to tennis. Up to the new closing date, she goes silent. So she finally answers my call and says she's found someone willing to buy it directly from her. So she plans to, quote, let the closing date pass and sell it to my friend. So her goal there was to net more by saving realtor commissions. I explained.
But she really thinks that this is legal.
I don't think she thought much of it through. I did explain to her she's contractually bound to sell at this point, and she'll be in breach of contract if she's not there at closing. Mind you, this is my second transaction ever, so I did not want her to get herself in trouble with breach of contract and everything that would follow. So the night before closing, I called a reminder of the address and the time for closing. No response. The morning of, I call, no response again. So I drove to the house I sold her, knocked on the door to tell her. And at that point, she didn't answer the door, but she did call the closing attorney and said she'd come to closing. So as I'm pulling in the parking lot to close, she's leaving. She's come early and signed everything. So we closed and all is well. The ex-fiance was so happy to have her out of his life that he allowed me to sell two more of his homes, and he has a third that he wants me to sell. And her brother heard that I was able to get her through a couple of transactions, so he actually had me sell one of his investment properties.
So what you're saying is the benefit of managing the crazy, unreasonable person is that everybody they know understands that they are crazy and unreasonable and says, hey, this realtor can handle anything.
Absolutely.
And Tracy, how many times did you call your broker in the course of that transaction? It was your second deal, so you're obviously still wet behind the ears. How much did your broker support you in that process?
My broker was wonderful. It was so nice to be able to say, this is what's going on now. And it was funny because what my broker said repeatedly was, this does not happen to most agents. Most agents go 20 years and don't have a client like this, but you're having it right up front.
Exactly. So you were just getting broken in early so you could not be phased in the future.
Right. And it has helped tremendously, I promise you.
And that poor ex-fiance, I mean, he's probably glad to be living in a tent after dealing with that woman.
Well, you know, he just sent me his sonogram on Friday. He and his new wife are having their first baby.
Oh, see, now there's an upside of managing to deal with the, we didn't even talk about the drug paraphernalia, the drug right. Weekly tenant and the tennis playing woman who found somebody to buy her house. There's lots of angles in there.
Yes.
But there's something else, but I don't want to get tangled up in that one anymore, even though there's like so many ways we could talk about it. There's something else that happened in your life that I find to be very pertinent. So tell the world about this other thing we talked about.
Oh.
And not the shark on the roof.
Right.
The house that was too small.
Oh, this was the house that she was buying, which was my first transaction. They passed it to me, the new agent, because the price point wasn't high enough for the agent that received the call. And this has turned into five transactions. And again, he wants me to sell one more. So it will be six transactions before it's over that an agent passed on.
So let me ask you this. What's the average price point in your market, like overall in Marietta?
Yeah, we're $250,000. So that's really nice.
All right. So that's like a normal house in most of the country. Most people could afford that. California people, y'all go ahead and make your little snotty laugh. We know how y'all do. But with this house, so you said it was smaller and the agent didn't feel like it was worth their time. So how small was it, Tracy?
Size-wise or price-wise?
No, like price-wise.
Oh, I think that one was about $40,000.
So this agent decided that the commission dollars on a $40,000 house were not as good as the commission dollars on a $200,000 house.
Right.
Which burns my biscuits in so many ways. But you are showing us here that you said, hey, it's not too good for me. I can help you and I'll give you a professional realtor in the whole process. And that $40,000 house, how much was the price point on the other houses you dealt with if you had to estimate them?
One was $150,000, one was $170,000-something. Yeah, so they were all higher. It was just starting off at the lower price point, and it was my first one ever, so I'm completely fine with anything as my first one ever.
So what you're saying, Tracy, is that because you were not so fancy and uppity, you took the $40,000 house that nobody else wanted, and it turned into a $500,000 worth of real estate transactions.
Yes.
So wouldn't you say that it was hard for you not to strut by that other agent and be like, what? I told you so. Because I know you wanted to, but you were probably too classy to do that, weren't you?
I was, but I did it on the inside.
And if you're a consumer listening to this, you have to understand that there is not one good reason in this whole entire planet for a realtor to ever be too good to handle your property. I don't think there is any excuse out there good enough for your property not to be important to the realtor you call. And in fact, if you call a realtor who gets all snotty about your property, get on the phone and call somebody else, because the hallmark of a true professional, whether they're one transaction into their career or a million transactions in, is that they understand that that property is important to the person who owns it. And Tracy, I got to say that I love that you're 5 years in and you think about that as one of your big moments in your career, is that you took what is considered to be a small property and handled it so well that you got a lot of other people to trust you with their properties. And that's what makes you different in your market. And that's what makes consumers love you as their realtor.
Well, thank you.
With all that being said, if anybody is looking for an amazing realtor in Marietta who can help manage the ex-fiancé who lives in a tent in the mountains of another state with a fake email address that he had to create to get away from the ex, and knows how to manage an eviction process of a weekly tenant who's on drugs, and somebody who thinks they're not going to show up at closing because they're going to make a better deal at the tennis club, how can they reach you?
Well, my cell phone is 770-820-6638. My website is Marietta Home Team, and Marietta is spelled M-A-R-I-E-T-T-A. And then my Instagram is Live in Marietta. My Twitter is Live in Marietta. And my Facebook is under construction, but it's Tracy Browning, Marietta Home Team.
And so, should I guess correctly here that you're a Braves family?
We are, absolutely. We're very excited that they are now in Cobb County.
Oh, see, and I'm upset about having to go to a different place to watch baseball, but I'm sure I'll get over it because it's going to be a little bit closer to my house on the other side of 85 here.
You're going to love it. It's open every day of the year. There are restaurants, there's a concert venue, there's hotels. It's a destination. It's not just a go for the game and leave.
So if you're listening to this episode and you're looking for an amazing realtor in Marietta, you know where to find her, but it also sounds like she's pretty in tune with what's happening in her community around her, which is just another reason to reach out to Tracy should you need anything in Marietta or the general Atlanta area. If she doesn't cover it, she will have a contact for you. Tracy, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. And I love that you are being an example for how we do real estate right.
Well, thank you, Lee. Thanks for having me.
And if you're listening to this and you're a realtor, broker, investor, inspector, lender, or a consumer who's got your own story about something crazy in real estate and you just need to top these other stories, tweet me at Lee Brown or message me on any of the social networks. I'd love to feature you on a future podcast episode. Subscribe for more. We always appreciate 5 stars to make Apple happy, and I will see you next time.
Thanks for joining us this week on the Crazy Shit in Real Estate podcast. If you liked what you heard, please visit crazyshitinrealestate.com, where you can access the full show notes for this episode, additional content produced exclusively for listeners, and much, much more.